Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing the influence of Madhavendra Puri, all the people gathered there were struck with wonder. They saw that the Annakut ceremony, which had been performed before during the time of Krishna, was now taking place again by the mercy of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Purport. Formerly at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, all the coward men of Vrindavan had arranged to worship King Indra, but they gave this worship up, following the advice of Krishna. Instead, they performed a ceremony whereby they worshipped the cows, brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill. At that time, Krishna expanded himself and declared, "I am Govardhan Hill." In this way, he accepted all the paraphernalia and food offered to Govardhan Hill. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 24 and 26, 31 and 33. I think this is text. I'll allow the Sanskrit. Prepare very nice food stuff of all descriptions from the grains and ghee collected for the yajna. Prepare rice, dal, then halava, pakora, puri, and all kinds of milk preparations like sweet rice, sweet bowls, sandesh, and rasgulla, and laddu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, therefore advised the coward men to stop the Indra Yajna and begin the Govardhan Puja to chastise Indra, who was very much puffed up, being the supreme controller of the heavenly planets. The honest and the simple coward man, headed by Nanda Maharaj, accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed Govardhan worship and circumambulation of the hill. According to the instructions of Lord Krishna, Nanda Maharaj and the coward boy called in the learned Brahmins and began to worship the Govardhan hill by chanting the Vedic hymns and offering prasadam. The inhabitants of Vrindavan assembled together, decorated the cows and gave them grass. Krishna keeping the cows in front, they began to circumambulate the Govardhan hill. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datadi Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chayade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityana Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So seeking the permission of all the devotees, senior devotees who's ever listening online, if I can say a few words regarding this particular section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vanchakalpa tribhishya kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitonam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Getting a little bit self-conscious being here all the time. Society is thinking, oh, another week on already by and is there again? Don't worry, I'm sure it's going to come to an end soon, you know. Maybe they'll have a lockdown on class for me. So there was a famous actor in Hollywood, Nick Nolte. Anyone knows who Nick Nolte is? So once his friend asked him, "What is it about the Hare Krishnas you like so much? You seem to like them." He says, "I like their take in life." He says, "Oh, what is their take in life?" It's very, very simple. Their take in life is chanting, dancing, and feasting. And he says, what is not to like about that? Everybody likes to chant, isn't it? What kind of either singing or chanting? Chanting has been going on from time immemorial. And then he said, everyone's like dancing, isn't it, in Kirtan? Even though we're just a few devotees still, the Kirtans are very, very lively. Everyone is dancing. Everyone is very, very happy. Whenever there's some kind of a beat, the madanga, ding, 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 ding. Everyone likes to like dance, isn't it? And then, of course, it goes without saying, If someone puts a nice plate of prasadam, then we get very, very excited. So this is what attracted him to Krishna consciousness. So prasadam is a very, very important part of the Krishna consciousness, our philosophy. And if you study our history, then prasadam is very, very intricate in most of our dealings. So I think most devotees, they all know the pastime of Annakut, isn't it? Who doesn't know the pastime of Annakut? Hands up. One person. Okay, so time is limited. This is such an important, so many different subjects. So for those two devotees, I can speak to afterwards, so you can ask the other devotees. So I was thinking Annakut is one of the festivals that we have, which is concentrated on prasadam. So I was thinking, Krishna likes eating. So I was wondering, would you like to know what Krishna likes to eat? Yeah? So we all like taking prasadam. So this is what Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna. So if you're a cook, pay attention, Ananda Vigra, if you're listening. So Mother Yashoda calls to Krishna, "My dear Damoda, it is very late. Please come right now. Sit down here in the dining hall and take your lunch." On the direction of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, the holder of Govardhan Hill, again, the Govardhan Hill, Annakut, sits down. And then all the coward boys, along with Krishna's elder brother, Shri Baladev, sit down in rows to take their lunch. So it's quite interesting. Krishna doesn't take prasadam on his own. He's with his brother. He's with all his other coward boys and friends. Then they're served a feast. Shukta. Anyone knows what Shukta is? Shukta is a Bengali preparation, and then it's like a kind of a sweet and sour type. They put bananas in there, they put different kinds of roots and things like that. And it's quite runny and it's quite yummy as well. Various kinds of greeny leafy vegetables. So greeny leafy vegetables are there for Krishna. Then there's nice fried things. One friend of mine, devotee, said, "Oh, always the nicest things are fried things, isn't it?" Fried samosas, fried kachoris, fried pakoras, they always seem to be the nicest things. And a salad made of green leaves of jute plant. So I haven't tried that one. So a salad made of green leaves of jute plant. They also serve pumpkin baskets. They all also serve pumpkins. So baskets of fruit is there, small square cakes made of lentils and cooked down milk. So it seems like they make some cakes from lentils and then they cook it in milk. So that's quite interesting. Then thick yogurt. I guess this is where Greek yogurt comes from India. Squash cooked in milk. They seem to like things cooked in milk a lot here. And vegetable preparations made from flower of a banana tree. Anyone ever had anything made from a flower of banana tree? It's very, very nice. So whenever you get a chance, go to Mayapur. Pakoras made from a flower of banana tree. Highly recommended. Then they receive fried square mung dal patties and urad dal patties, chapatis, rice with ghee. So if you go to some of the villages, they like their rice and they always like to have a big helping of ghee on top of their rice. So ghee is very, very important. There's a Muni says, beg, borrow, steal, somehow or another, get some ghee. So ghee with rice. Next is sweets made with milk, sugar, and sasumam. Anyone know what that is? Nope. What's that? It doesn't say sesame, it says some this rice flour cakes, thick cooked down in milk, and cakes floating in milk. Whoa. I can probably imagine if you have that, you'll be floating in air a little bit, you know. And then there's sweet rice. There's also sweet rice that tastes just like nectar due to it being mixed with camphor. So camphor is a very, very strong flavor. I don't know if anyone's ever had any sweet rice with camphor. But it's very, very important you put the right amount. If you put too much, then it becomes very, very strong. So camphor is also placed in sweet rice in some of the different preparations. There are bananas. Cheese is nectarine and delicious. So they like cheese. Devotees like cheese. Krishna likes cheese. They also serve 12 kinds of sour preparations made with tamarinds, limes, lemons, oranges, and pomegranates. There are also puris made with white flour and sugar, puris filled with cream, laddus and dal patties boiled in sugar, rice. Krishna eagerly eats all of the food. Anyone else here can eat all of this? Taruna looks like it. Only sweets for you Brahmins, yeah? And then, just to top it up, that's what Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna. Then along comes who? Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. Then she comes in great ecstasy. Wait a minute, don't overfill your belly. I got some nice things for you as well. So Srimati Radharani comes in and she brings rice, curried vegetables, sweets, pastries. And then one particular friend gets really, really excited. Who's that? Nope. It's Madhu Mangal. He becomes very, very, very excited when he sees all this lovely prasadam. And particularly, what is he fond of, Srinivas? Laddus, yeah. So then, if you put laddus in front of Madhu Mangal, he becomes very, very happy. So this is what he does. He eats laddus. Then after he eats laddus, he shouts, Haribol! Haribol! So this is what Krishna eats. Then after lunch, it's not even over yet. That's just the first course. Now, after lunch, Krishna drinks a very, very nice drink. Anyone knows what drink this is? Nah, not lassi. Pepsi, no, not Pepsi. Krishna drinks water which is scented with rose. So I don't know if you ever tried it in the summer. You get particularly the purple roses. They're very, very fragrant. And if you just leave them in water and it soaks up, then it tastes very, very nice. So apparently, this is what Krishna likes to drink after he's had his meal. So this is some of Krishna's daily activities. This is a very nice description given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Bhoga Aarti. So this is a little bit of a hint to Kanhaiya in the kitchen. If he's listening, this is what we're expecting at lunchtime. So Annakut is a festival that has prasadam at the center. What other kind of festivals do we know that has prasadam at the center of the festival? There's a few. Anyone have any idea or hint? Excuse me? Yes, the Panihati festival. There's a very nice picture, if anyone's noticed, in the prasadam room. It's an amazing picture. And the basic story is Raghunath Das Goswami, he's trying to see Lord Chaitanya. And every time he goes to see Lord Chaitanya, all his plans are baffled. He never gets to see the Lord. Then the reason is because we can't get to Lord Chaitanya unless we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Our way to Lord Chaitanya is to go through Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda was there with his associates, and he saw Raghunath Das over there, then he called him over. And then he said, you're a little bit of a rascal. And he says, we need to punish you. So then he said, I want you to arrange a big prasadam for all the devotees over here. So then this Panihati festival was arranged. So I don't know if anyone's had this festival here at the manor or in Atlanta. They do it very, very nicely. Also in Mayapur. And you get this chip rice, and then you soak it with milk, and then you make all different types of preparation. You put mangoes, you can put dates, you can put strawberries in there, you can put condensed milk, you can put so many different variations. So I was in Atlanta once, and they had this festival, and they made over 108 different preparations of this particular festival. So it's a very, very nice, wonderful experience. So we've got Annakut, which is a festival of prasadam. We've got the Panihati. Anything else anyone can recall? The Rathiatra. Now, Rathiatra is very, very interesting because it's connected to Lord Jagannath. So there's an interesting story which is related to the prasadam. In Jagannath Puri, they have chappan bhoga there. They have so much maha prasadam. That's what everybody eats. It's just pure maha prasadam. So Narada Muni, he has the privilege, the honor to visit Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu in the Vaikuntha. So one particular time, Narada Muni, he was serving Mother Lakshmi. And Mother Lakshmi became very, very happy with the service attitude of Narada Muni. And then Lakshmi Devi said, my dear Narada Muni, I'm very, very happy with your service. Please ask for anything that you want. I will grant your boon. And then Narada Muni thought for a while, and he said, I would very, very much like to have the Maha Prasadam of Lord Vishnu. And Lakshmi said, no can do. Sorry. Lord Vishnu specifically asked that none of my remnants be given out. So generally, it's kind of a culture in Vaishnavism that your remnants of food that you've left over, you don't give it to others. Except for, you know, the spiritual master or a senior devotee. Generally, it's considered that you don't give the remnants of your food to someone else. So Lord Narayan had instructed Lakshmi Devi not to give the remnants of his food. So then she said, I cannot fulfill this boon. So then the next day, Lakshmi was serving Lord Vishnu very, very nicely. But somehow or another, Vishnu detected that Lakshmi was not 100% happy. So she said, my dear Devi, you have served me very, very nicely, just like you would normally do, but you don't seem to be quite happy about this. Why is it? She said, well, the other day I promised Narada Muni I would give him a boon, but I can't fulfill the boon, and I feel very, very bad about it. I feel that I can't fulfill what I said I would do. Then Lord Vishnu said, well, what is it? What did you say that you would give Narada Muni? He said, well, he asked for the remnants of your food after lunch, then Lord Vishnu said, just to satisfy you, this one time I'm going to allow you to give the remnants to Narada Muni. However, do it in a such a way that I don't notice it. Then Lakshmi was very happy. Lord Vishnu finished his bhoga, and then she took the plate. When Lord Narayan wasn't watching Lord Vishnu, then she gave the remnants to Narada Muni. Of course, it goes without saying that when Narada Muni took this remnants of Lord Vishnu and placed it in his mouth, when he ate it, he became very, very blissful. And then all the hairs on his body started standing up. And he started crying. And he started chanting, Narayan, Narayan. And he became so happy that he started dancing all around the universe. He was in such ecstasy. You can imagine taking the remnants. Sometimes when we take the remnants of Radha Gokulananda, you can definitely taste that the Lord has eaten. So Narada Muni, he felt this ecstasy, and he was dancing and chanting the names of the Lord. And then as he danced, he arrived in Kailash dancing, chanting, full of ecstasy, ear to ear smile. And Lord Shiva noticed this. And Lord Shiva went to Narada Muni. My dear Narada Muni, I know you're always happy chanting the names of Krishna. I know that you're always blissful. But what is the reason for this extra ecstasy I see that you have? Then Narada Muni said that I was very, very fortunate that I had some Mahaprasadam, some remnants of Lord Vishnu. And then what did Lord Shiva say? Huh? Where's mine? Isn't it? What kind of a friend are you if you don't share the Mahaprasadam? So if you've got two gulab jams, David, what are you going to do with them? Huh? Share them. Yeah. You're not going to eat both of them, are you? Maybe. I know Amit would eat both of them. Actually, we used to have a friend, maybe Godruma remembers, his name was Hari Rama. Actually, we used to call him Hari Aram. It was quite hard to get him to do anything. And it was one day we decided to steal all the maha. I mean, there's abundance of maha, but in those days, Mahaprasadam was on lockdown. It was very, very hard to kind of get the Mahaprasadam. So it would go from here into a Priyojana's little offices. And it was be locked over there. So me and Godruma, we decided to make a whole kind of arrangement to steal the Mahaprasadam. So we stole all the gulab jams, we stole all the sweets, we stole all the rasgullas. So we thought we were going into trouble, but our philosophy was this. That if we just take Mahaprasadam, it'll be Haribol, like Narada Muni. It is better to get forgiveness than get permission. Then we went into the garden. We were knocking all these rasgullas back, and there was this devotee Hari Rama. He was pouring out this kheer, and he loved kheer so much that he used to ooze out of his ears. And then, as he was pouring this kheer to everyone, and he was giving, he was reluctant to give the cups out. He would be holding on to it. And then he would pour his cup, and then he would hold the jug of kheer, and he would quickly drink it so fast that no one else had a chance to finish it. And then quickly he would kind of pour it in his own kind of cup. So our kind of attitude is always to share. Sharing is caring. So Lord Shiva was a little upset. He said, where is mine? He said, well, I was in so much ecstasy, like this Hari Rama, he just kind of woofed it all down. So Lord Shiva wasn't very, very happy about it. So then he noticed that there was a little bit of rice in the corner of Narada Muni's fingernail. Then he took that one rice. Lord Shiva took that one rice and he placed it in his mouth. And just by eating this one rice, Lord Shiva became very, very jubilant and very happy. And he started dancing in ecstasy. And he started making the whole Kailash shake a little bit. And then Parvati came out and never seen a husband like this before. He's usually in deep meditation, thinking of the Lord. And he saw Lord Shiva like this. And then asked the Lord, why are you so happy? What is the cause of this? He saw Narada Muni and Lord Shiva dancing. And then Lord Shiva said, I had some Mahaprasadam from Lord Vishnu. And this is causing me such great ecstasy, such great jubilation. And of course, the wife, Parvati Muni, Mother Parvati asked, well, where's my share then? Have you got any for me? And of course, Lord Shiva had none. She became really, really angry. Then she manifested a Durga form. And then from her eyes, she started like getting so angry. Fire started coming out. And I guess like Superman, the vision was like burning up the whole place, you know. And Lord Shiva tried to control her. But she was so angry, she didn't get any prasadam. So husbands, make sure you have some prasad for your wife. Otherwise you get the vision like Parvati from her. Anyway, so then everyone came, the demigods, they pacified her. Lord Vishnu came, he pacified Parvati and said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, you will get some. In fact, you will get so much more that you will be the first person to be offered Mahaprasadam. Shri Radha Gokulam Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So then the Lord said that when I come down as Lord Jagannath in my temple in Puri, you will be the first person to be served the Mahaprasadam. So Lord Jagannath is served the Mahaprasadam, the Bhoga Radha, and the Mahaprasadam then is taken to Durga's. So in the courtyard, if anyone's been to Jagannath Puri, and if you've been allowed to go into the temple, then in the courtyard, there is a temple of Durga, whose name, anyone know? Begins with a B. Bimala. Bimala Devi. So the boga, the prasadam from Lord Jagannath, Balaram Subhadra, goes to Bimala Devi. Then after that, it goes to all the pilgrims. So there was a special place where she would always get Mahaprasadam. And because Lord Shiva didn't share the prasadam, Mahaprasadam, with Parvati, Lord Vishnu said, your temple will be outside the Jagannath temple. So if you go there now, you will see that Lord Shiva's temple is outside the main Jagannath temple. And after everyone's eaten, then Lord Shiva gets a share. So that's right, Jagannath Puri, plenty of prasadam. No one ever goes hungry there. So prasadam is very, very important in our Krishna consciousness. Prasadam means what? Mercy. Prasadam also means give and take. Translation in Sanskrit means give and take. How does this work? We cook and we give to Radha Gokulananda. And after Radha Gokulananda has eaten, then we take. So this is how it works, prasadam. We cook it, we prepare the boga, and then we give it to the Lordship. Then afterwards, then the Lord very, very kindly allows us to have this prasadam. And as explained over here in the verses, that although the Lord eats what's been offered, what's amazing about it, it still remains the same. It still remains there. If I were to give Prayojana a nice Mangalati sweet and he eats it, will there be any on the plate? No, he's woofed it down. But when we offer to the Lord, miraculously, it still remains there. So that is the amazing miracle of the Lord, that the prasadam always stays there. So then another festival that went for one particular year that was centered around just taking prasadam was the mango festival that Lord Chaitanya had. So one day Lord Chaitanya, he was out on Sankirtan, and they were chanting, Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha, Yadavaya Madhavaya, Keshavaya Namaha. So then after chanting, then devotees were feeling a little hungry. And then there was no corner shops, there was no 7-Elevens, no Tesco Extras. So then the devotees didn't know what to eat. The Lord was very, very kind. He saw a seed of a mango. He took it, placed it in the ground, and in front of everyone, this mango tree started to grow right in front of their eyes. And the leaves came, the branches came, and this mango started manifesting. I think we got our first mangoes yesterday, wasn't it? So these mangoes were not ordinary mangoes. It is said, when you have one mango, it knocks you out. There's no seed in the mango. There's no skin in the mango. And if anyone who's a connoisseur of mangoes, who likes mangoes? Everyone loves mangoes. So there's a little bit of a problem with mango. Anything which is good, you have to make a little endeavor. You have the skin, you have to get the seed out. But this particular mango had no skin, had no seed whatsoever. So you could just eat it. And this just happened every single day. The Lord would go out with the devotees, have Sankirtan, Harinam, and then when they kind of were hungry, then they would go to the mango tree. And amazing about this mango tree, it was like a Kalpa Vriksha tree. It just never ends. It just goes on and on and on. Krishna is amazing. He can do anything. There was one boy, he was in the Gurukul, and the teacher said, we want to have a festival, and in this festival, we want all the students to bring a preparation so we can feed everyone. So this one particular boy, he was very, very poor, and he didn't know what to bring. So he went to his mother and said, Mother, our Gurukul is having a big festival, and it's asked the students to bring preparation so that we can feed everyone in the village. Then the mother said, well, we are so poor, we don't have anything in the house. We just barely managed to survive. Then the boy was a little upset. Everyone in the school is going to bring someone. Everyone said, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to bring the other thing. And I didn't know what to bring. I said, I'm going to go home and find out from my mother. And the mother said, we just don't have anything. And he goes, the boy was upset, says, how can we get something? So the mother said, well, if you go in the forest, I've been told Lord Narayan, he resides there in the forest. The yogis, they go in the forest. Maybe you can ask the Lord there. So then the boy very enthusiastically, he went over there. And then he started shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And the boy was so sincere that right before his eyes, the Lord manifested. So if your chanting is that pure, like the boy, then the Lord will manifest himself. So then the Lord manifested himself. And he said, yes, my dear boy, what would you like? He says, well, my teacher's having this big festival. My mother has got nothing in the kitchen. Is there any way you can help me? Then Krishna said, look, here's a pot pot of yogurt, take this. So the boy was very, very happy. Then he went, and the day they had the festival, he brought this pot over, and there was a big feast. Everyone brought some rice, some pakoras, all sorts of things, you know. And this boy brought this yogurt, and the teacher looked at this pot. And do you think the teacher was happy? No. So he looked at the pot, and he took the yogurt, and he just spilled it. He was very, very upset. Then the boy started crying, and he just dropped it there. Then when he looked at the pot, what happened to the pot? It was full again. And he noticed this, and then the teacher was there, and he was a bit surprised. Then they poured it on the plate, and whew, boom. It just filled up again. And the teacher was really surprised, and they emptied it more. And every time they emptied it, it gets filled up again. So in this way, this magical pot that Krishna gave the boy produced unlimited amounts of yogurt. It's good to have that pot in the kitchen here, isn't it? So, on the last note, time is not on our side. As I had so many things to say, you know, it's a nice subject, prasadam. You can just go on and on and on talking about prasadam. But one thing I did want to say in conclusion was that although we like prasadam, although at 8:30 everyone gets agitated and goes for breakfast, when we take prasadam, it has to be the right consciousness that we take the prasadam. The Lord is very, very kind to give His mercy. The Lord is very, very kind to give us this wonderful pakora. But we have to have it in the right consciousness for it to have effect. So this is a wonderful story that illustrates this. Once Ramanuja, he was walking with his disciples. And as he was walking with disciples, he had some prasadam and he threw it in the pond. And as he threw the prasadam in the pond, some fishes, they ate the prasadam remnants of Ramanuja. As soon as they did it, in front of all his disciples, these fishes, they manifested their four-arm forms and they rose to Vaikuntha. And the disciples were really, really surprised. Wow! Can you imagine just having some remnants? And there is Prash in his Vaikuntha form, floating in Vaikuntha. What's going on? And the disciples were a little bit bewildered. Why were the disciples bewildered? Yes, because every day when Ramanuja would have his prasadam, the disciples would eat the remnants. But they said, well, how come we're not getting our Vaikuntha forms? How come the fish are getting it, and we are not getting it? We're eating the same remnants from you. And Ramanuja said that the fish, they eat without any offense. They don't take it with any distinctions. So when your consciousness is right, when you take this Mahaprasadam, which the Lord very kindly leaves behind, then it will have the maximum amount of benefit. And there was one hippie, he strolled into the manor. This was in 1980s. He strolled into the manor. Some friends said to him, go to the Hare Krishnas. They cook very, very nice prasadam. The food there is amazing. So some another, he strolled in here. We're having the Sunday feast. And he had date halava. And he said he had never tasted anything like this before. He had this date halava and he never left the property. And he was so impressed with this date halava, he took it as his life mission to become a cook. So he learned the recipes and he became the head cook at the manor later on. So this is the potency of prasadam, that this one person, he had this date halava, he was very, very eager to taste it, he took it, and by eating it in a pure state of being, he became a devotee. So that is the power of Mahaprasadam. Anyone have any interesting stories? Any stories related to prasadam? How people have been... And Srila Prabhupada wanted prasadam distribution so much. I think you all know this wonderful story. He was in Mayapur once, and he noticed some kids, they were coming, and then whatever was thrown away on the site, I don't know if you've been to Mayapur, you take your kind of banana leaf or whatever, you eat it, then you chuck it on the side. There's a little place and it just piles up. And then Prabhupada noticed some kids were going and eating. And as he noticed this, there was a tear in his eye. And Prabhupada said, no one should go hungry within a certain radius of the ISKCON temple. And then he wrote a letter to all the ISKCON leaders that there should be prasadam distribution. And Prabhupada called prasadam the secret weapon. Once some devotees from here, they were traveling to Bombay, and they took some Radha Gokulananda's rasgullas, and Prabhupada was in Bombay, and they gave him a rasgulla, and he ate the rasgulla, and he said to Giriraj, we can eat our way back to Godhead. So if your chanting is difficult, if your sadhana is very, very difficult, if you eat in the right consciousness, you can eat your way back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.